Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
Off the ball. Rugby.
Get rid of this mindset of let's get through the quarterfinals, because the bigger you make it, that's going to be your ceiling.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Welcome to Kilmacud Croaks on Dublin Southside. I know what you're thinking.
Big club, big money.
You hear all the talk about Croaks being a super club, being, you know, a business.
The super club idea.
This massive super club.
It's impersonal. It's the opposite of a small country club.
Not a real club, like that people don't know each other, or like the, I don't know, people don't like care as much about each other.
You know, they feel we're a huge club and we're this absolutely massive club.
My own sister thought I was getting a big wad of cash for managing the team and being involved with the team. And
so yeah, I got involved here probably 5 years ago and knew nothing really about the club. Like, obviously knew it had a bit of a success over the years, knew this idea about it being a super club, but I never really knew or anticipated the level of community that existed down here. I just find the place unbelievable. It's the best club I've ever been involved in. This is the man responsible. I was telling SKG outside, if you're looking for somebody to blame for all of this, my part-time commitment to my marriage, my part-time commitment to my work, and then my full-time commitment to Kilmacud Croaks, and you're to blame.
Yeah, I am, and it certainly is a full-time commitment, and thanks a million for it. You were the right man for the job. I sold it here as something that was going
fourth
to be
down the list.
Fourth down the list, yeah. The other three said no. They knew I was lying to them. I think I said 1 hour a week. Yeah. I knew I was lying to you at the time. It's a machine, without a doubt it's a machine, but it's a machine with a village feel. There's no doubt about it. There's definitely a village feel, and it has a village energy. It's great to be part of it. I got involved when my eldest son became involved at the age of 4, and I've stayed involved since then. You were the same. And I just do it because it's part of giving back to the community and back to the kids, you know. I didn't realise it was going to be such a commitment when I took it on. Neither did you, to be honest. But I get more out of it than I put in. Is it same for you?
Cut! The fulcrum here around the club, around Glenalbin, as you'll see over the next while, is part of the secret sauce. And there's a man now who's going to jump in here for 2 seconds. Come on over here, get in. We were just talking about people who are the secret sauce about Kilmacud Croaks. And as if we could have just planned this out by the absolute second he walks past. Niall Corcoran, who people will know, given the Gansey that he's on him here. We might do an interview on your most recent job.
Next
while. But former Dublin hurler, I was just doing a piece about how people come from all over the country to come into Croaks and make this place so special. Yeah. Galway man, and I would say very, very firmly at the centre of everything good around here.
Yeah, look, it's you see a lot of parents who come in not from the locality into Croaks and settle into the community. And to do it for a number of reasons. I recently did a bit of research on the reasons why parents like yourselves give so much to Croaks, and they've built it, and the answers coming back aren't because of the Paul Emanuels or the Shane Walsh's or the Fergal Whiteleys playing with Croaks. It's because they've built a whole community and settled into Croaks, and I think that's really important to remember.
It's very easy to look at that, and we do very little of it. Surprisingly, relative to a lot of clubs, most of our players are homegrown and have grown up in the club. But actually, sometimes a situation arises and you get the odd, very high profile one that attracts all the headlines and all the speculation about what goes on and how, what did they do? Did they go out looking? We do not go out looking. We do not go out looking for inter-county players to come and join our senior teams. We have a steady stream of kids growing into adulthood and moving into our teams. But on occasions, and it is occasions, we get approached. And by the way, what might shock people is, we get approached by players who want to come and play here over the last couple of years in particular, because we've been doing pretty well, you know, getting through Dublin, getting through this year, not so much, but and that's part of it as well, right? But we get approaches all the time from people who do not live locally and want to join our club, and we say no far more often than we say yes. So we've pretty strict criteria. You've got to prove that you're living in the area, or that you're working in the area, and the training commute is handier for you to come here. So this isn't a case that people, you know, rock up here and say, oh, I'm an intercounty player from wherever, and we go, off you come. You know, we have very few, relatively speaking. I think Shane Walsh may have been the only non-homegrown player the year we won the All-Ireland. The year before, there were 30 homegrown players.
For me, it's quite frustrating in the sense that people who kind of say those things aren't involved in the club and don't see that the work that's being done by volunteers. We need membership like every other club to pay for facilities. We pay for facilities cost over 250 grand a year to provide for our teams, balls, slitters, hurleys, everything like that, to make sure that our players get the same opportunity as every other player around the country to play Gaelic games. And I think maybe, you know, I think I would love to be able to bring in people to show how the club works and how the community works and how the volunteers operate.
We have about 90 odd members, but not all 90 of those are members of the GAA. A good portion of them are, and the people that were involved in setting it up, including myself, the three or four of us that set it up, were all club members. But we opened it up to the whole community. And it's something that I think that the club wanted to embrace. And as such, then we get the use of the function room.
The shop actually used to be a really tiny little kind of galley at the back.
Okay.
And then
where the hurling room is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was that. Now it's kind of that's actually our storeroom.
Okay.
So we extended. We took a change room from part of the club to make it what it is now.
Okay.
Because we need to. We've just so many people to look after.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of the team gear, and not just only sort of stuff for players and parents and coaches and stuff. We also look after stuff for team players
and bucket hats.
You're at nothing at the minute.
It's the Oasis trend, is it?
I think it's a generational thing. Not maybe my style, but there are people who like them.
Well,
so.
There was an old that played against Crokes at Crow Park in 1980.
There's something there.
You mentioned Mary Whiteley.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about when you mentioned her.
Yeah.
Your face lit up.
Yeah.
The kid's face lit up. Will you just tell us a little bit about her?
She's just a legend. She's an absolute. She's just. She's the warmest, kindest woman, and she has like three incredible children who are all playing here, different ages, different levels. Herself and her husband are involved with various teams, and she then does, she's in the choir, and then she's involved with the Camogie Committee and does a huge amount of fundraising and just quietly in the background, just working away. And yeah, you just kind of.
We're all big Mary Whiteley fans.
Big fans. Yeah, absolutely.
So I've been around the club the last couple of days and like chatting to people over the last couple of weeks. And there was one name that kept emerging as like, you know, a club celebrity that we know we must sit down with and speak to, Mary Whiteley. it's very good to get the chance to sit down with you. Your name is spoken about in every corner of the club about the work that you do and the commitment that you have.
The three of them, as I said, are involved, so I like to do a bit for everything. I probably do a little bit. I'm involved with the Camogie a good bit. I'm a fundraiser for the Camogie team. I'm on the Camogie committee, and we in 2016 we started up a choir here in the club. So I'm involved in that, and I help out with the hurlers as well. We cook for them after all the matches. So that's what I do. So I do a little bit for everyone. So and I suppose now that they're all, you know, they're more senior members of the club, I'm as not involved in giving lifts, etc. So we're doing things for ourselves now. Myself and Michael are in the choir, and I suppose if I talk about the choir and what we do, the choir started up in 2016 as a part of a kickstart initiative here in the club. It was health and wellbeing. So a couple of us got together, and there was about 20 in the choir, and to be honest, it's just blossomed so much now. We've over 45 members now, and we practice here on a Sunday evening from 6:30 to 8:30. And we just do charity events all the time. Aisling asked me tonight, Mum, how much money have we raised, has the choir raised? And I can honestly say it's probably about 30,000 for different, you know, we sing for Laura Lynn at Christmas. We, trying to think what else we do. We're actually collaborating with Kula, and we've done this the third time. Kula have a lovely choir. I know we get on. There is competition, but we get on. And we're singing with them now in Glastool at Christmas to raise money for probably a homeless charity. So we do lots of things like that. We're still young at heart, and we have great fun.
I didn't grow up playing GA. I didn't do any of that.
Did you not? So no. How did you end up here?
Age-old story, Adrian. There was a man.
Okay.
So my husband had played here for years. Yeah. He's a big hurler. And then when the kids were small, we got them involved in the nursery and all that kind of stuff. But I was always either, you know, there's four of them. So I was always dragging one of them around the place. Yeah. And then when we got to our youngest guy, I said, okay, I'll try and do a bit of something. Yeah. And bit by bit I started with, you know, kind of at the gate letting people in, helping them out, now do a bit of coaching, and then other things happened. I started to help out with the shop, and now I look after the shop for the club
and play.
I play socially.
Ah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So we, I suppose a lot of people know about the Gaelics from other and others, football side of things. Yeah. Social camogie isn't as popular, but we're getting there. So again, it's an idea by the Camogie Association. So we do a social camogie. We play on Monday nights now, and it's mums and some are ex-players, some are people like me who never played, and you know, it's just really good fun. Jeez, you'd be cool enough, wouldn't you? You have to be on the toes.
Yeah, no, never played football or didn't play much team sports. Played a little bit of tag rugby in my 20s, but growing up, gymnastics was my sport, so this is a brand new foray for me. Yeah.
What brought you in the gate?
So I spent kind of 7 years devoting kind of a lot of myself to my three young kids, and I decided 2025 was a year to devote a little bit of time to myself and my own kind of health and well-being. And I had a friend, Laura, who's been involved in the Mothers and Others for a while, and so I joined both the Mothers and Others and Social Camogie back in February, and yeah, absolutely loved every second of it.
Which is more crack, obviously? This is the big question.
Oh, Mothers and Others, of course. Goes
insane. When I came to Dublin, got involved, I did nursing at True Trinity, so joined the college team there, and then a friend of mine was playing with Nafina at the time, so I actually joined Nafina. I know. And I was going up and down home and still training, and I suppose like that's where your friends were. That's, you know, that was where I belonged. That's a sense, it gives you such a sense of belonging, to be honest with you. I was kind of chatting to some of the mothers around here. I moved over to Kilmacud when I married Rob, who'd be very involved with the club here, and chatting to one of the mothers, and she said she had joined, and I said I'll come down for a look. So that's how I got here, and yeah, it's great because it gives you an outlet. It's still part of something. It's great for the fitness. You get to run around and play a bit of football, and it's not, I'm gone past the competitive piece, which is great, but then when you do play,
you're saying that in a way that I'm not 100%.
I know, and it should, like, there is that, it's just either in you or whatever, but you know, and I do see some of the women when they're playing mothers and mothers, gosh, I'm like, oh my god, you still have that bite. But it really is, I suppose, it's just to be able to get out and enjoy it and have the bit of crack.
So both my kids play here, started with, I can't remember if I started playing myself or started coaching with them, but I love GA since I was very little. So I would have played as a kid. I would have played up to leaving cert maybe. Not in college. I went off and did other things. Like Clare played a lot of tag rugby in my 20s, 30s, and then came back here. Actually, I started back with Camogie and then realised, oh, there's football. And funny, I love hurling, I love Camogie, but I love playing football more than the others. So, yeah.
Well, yeah.
When it comes to the matches, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And Laura, you told us a bit about your story earlier on.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about your involvement as well with the Mothers and Others. And like, appears to me from the outside looking in as if you're one of the key cogs of keeping this machine rolling.
No, far from it. But I think I first came down here. I tell a story. My reason for coming down was the gift of a pair of football boots for Mother's Day for my kids 2 years ago. And it was, I tell them, it was just the kick I needed. And I thanked them often for it because it's been massive for me coming down here. I think I was already involved in coaching them, and I absolutely love being involved in that, and the fun and the friendship and everything that you get from coaching your kids and their friends. But this is something for me. So I think I came down, the motivator to come down was to honour the gift of the football boots that I got from them, and also because I was coaching, I kind of, and never having played football as a kid growing up, I needed to come down and learn the basic skills and see what it's all about. And I was already playing the social camogie as well, like Brenda, but came down here to try this out and haven't looked back. Absolutely love it. It's kind of, you know, coaching down there this evening with the boys, and that's their session and their fun, and it's great fun for me too. But then you drop them home, you have your cup of tea, and then this is your time, and the fitness and the everything else is such a bonus. Like, I feel fitter and stronger than I did, you know, 10 years ago not doing this. So it's been massive for me, and you know, kind of meeting all these new faces that are not necessarily connected to your kids or your husband who played here before. These are my friends that I've got to know through getting involved in another aspect of the club. So I think you get out of this, any club, what you put into it, and by getting involved in all the different elements of the club, you just get so much out from it.
It's really a community in itself. And like Laura was saying, you know, when you see people, then you're seeing them at matches or maybe going to the senior games or up in the club, up in the cafe there. It just gives you that sense of belonging, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And you're part of something, and you're part of something big when you're part of Crokes, you know.
I am the hurling lead for the mighty Kilmacook Crokes under nines boys section. So that's what I do. And it's a labour of love in a lot of ways. There's 140 kids in it, so you are absolutely herding sheep. There's no question about that. And there's about 50 or so coaches, so there's a fair bit of organisation to be involved with it. But there's such an unbelievable team of people between Alan, the football lead, and Dave Foley, who we've been chatting to, who runs the under nine group. It's unbelievable, but it is a big, you know, people often talk, whatever clubs that either come to visit us for our festivals that we hold down in UCD every year, or the blitzes we go to, or whenever we run into other clubs, or whenever you talk to anybody about Kilmacook Crokes, sure, listen, you have the numbers, like, it's all sewn up, you just win this thing year in, year out, and that's the way it works. And like, in a lot of ways the numbers are a real challenge, and there's no getting away from that. You know, when you're dealing with 140 8 and 9 year olds in a group, you can imagine the logistics that are involved with trying to create equal competition for those kids in training, not to mind matches. And yeah, it's it can be tough going. Why do you do all this?
So look at it. I mean, what were you doing on a Wednesday night? But no, look, it's the kids, it's the lads, it's you know, I've my youngest fella here, my eldest is going to be here in a few minutes, coming for his session.
Yeah.
I have two girls at home getting ready for training. But the crack they have doing this. Look at the numbers we have out. It's lovely when you see that kind of the switch just happen, and they get that confidence, and they're they just move on, and they just really enjoy it. Then they're keen, and then they're out the back.
Yeah.
You know, and they pick up the schlitter and they're sort of pucking away at home and popping around and asking, can we go out and puck around, and you know, and that's lovely.
I do, because my kids love it and I love it. I love being involved. It didn't sit well with me to be kind of standing passively. I really wanted to get involved and give a dig out and get to know the kids and get to know my kids' friends. friends and who they're all playing with, and yeah, just to be a part of something that they just love. So yeah, we all love it in our house.
And Hugh is like,
we wouldn't do it any other way.
What do you think, Hugh? Is Mama a good coach?
Yeah.
She is. Like, very good, excellent. Out of 10, what are you thinking? Be careful now.
Yeah, I'm here.
Seven. Okay.
Sometimes, you know, the impression is out there that Crokes is a massive community or a massive club, and you'd never know everyone in the club. But to be honest, I have four kids in the club. I feel like I know so many more families and kids on the back of getting involved in coaching and getting involved in different aspects of the club. So it's just been wonderful. Like, I've been hanging around this club for about well over 20 years now, since I was in my 20s. But really in the last decade, or the last, you know, 5 to 6 years of getting involved in coaching and the kids getting involved, it's opened up so much more. Paul would often comment that as a kid himself growing up and playing in Crokes, that you know, you'd never have passed anyone out in the street wearing a Crokes jersey or this, that and the other. But now it's just, the kids are all so proud to be part of something and wearing their club colours around, and even down to the simple things of the stickers on the car, and you're out and about and you see someone else in the gear or the sticker on the car, and it's just that connection and that identity with something, and it's lovely to be a part of something. And I think the best part of it all is just getting involved and getting stuck in.
Do you think I do all this, by the way?
To have fun? Yeah.
Do you know what?
What?
You're 100% right. Oof, nearly good catch. You're 100% right.
But at the same time, we weren't a massive GA family at all. I only joined Crokes when I was 13.
What's the story? Like, you were telling me this outside. I can't understand this at all.
Rory was playing football in over Oaklands with another lad, Tony Gallagher. Yeah. Tony saw the pair of them playing. It was a Sunday night. Would you like to come and play with us? And they were the sort of C team at under 13. So the lad said, yeah. But Bomber Green.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that whole crew, they were running the Fela team.
Yeah.
And they wanted Rory to come up with them.
Okay.
And I was saying, no. Out of loyalty to Tony.
Yeah.
He needs another year to just improve his skills. Yeah.
He wasn't in long at that stage, was he?
And even with the soccer, I always believed in the Dutch style of let them try everything and make mistakes and don't be dictating what they do. So, I said, look, when you get to under 14 next year, you can decide then. So they didn't get him until then.
Didn't go down well with me at the time. Just stick with the C team for
a
year. That's when Ross and Bill joined as well. They only joined at 11 and 15 because there's two years between us all.
So that's incredible.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So we're all late starters.
And I was always terrible at soccer, so it was a good chance. I was terrible.
Really?
Never
made that. They were a bit rootless.
I'm not particularly talented at Gaelic either. It's easier to get in people's way in Gaelic than soccer. Ross and Bill were always the skillful ones.
Three, every ball you had. One ball between three.
We've bumped into two VIPs down at the pitch side here because we're only a few days out from the big championship match, and the lads are out training behind. Mick Hines, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, very good. Yeah, looking forward to Sunday.
What's going to happen?
It's a 50-50 game with me, and if we turn up on Sunday, I think we have the power to beat them. I do. We have an excellent, great panel of players, and everybody's fit at the moment, which is a bonus. So hopefully we can get to the final.
See how we go.
How it goes, yeah.
You've been down, how many years are you involved in Crokes?
About 50. Yeah.
Where's that accent coming from?
I'm from Louth originally. Right. Not a hurling stronghold by any means, but I love hurling.
And you love Crokes, I think, by all accounts.
I love Crokes, and my son's played here over the years. And this Crokes is my life. I'm 91 years of age now. So I got my old buggy here to keep me around. It keeps me from my walking is not the best, so
the four-wheel drive comes in handy.
It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. I have it now for a couple of weeks, and it's great. Yeah.
You can tell nearly the emotion in your voice when you're talking about Crokes. It's a special place, isn't it?
It's special for me. I've been involved here since I came to Dublin, and I got living in Goatstown, since I got married and my sons came up and daughter, and I've been here for all that length of time. And I was involved with a lot of winning championship teams in Crokes, 15 I think, between hurling and football. Wow. But mostly hurling. I love hurling, even though I don't come from Hurling County. I'm a Kilkenny follower for years.
Yeah.
Make no apologies for that, even though the chairman here is a Tipperary man. And my son is married to a Tipperary woman, so...
You've all bases covered, Mick.
I've all the bases covered, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and a daughter married to a Corkman.
All right, well, that is, you're in trouble there.
I'm in serious trouble there at the moment, yeah.
Vincent Peters with as well, the chairman of the hurling committee here in the club as well. And, like, it's not an unusual story, Mick's story. There's a lot of people here from all corners of the world, and there's a real community feel to it.
It is, yeah. Loads of lads from the country settle around here, and they all get involved. And it's brilliant. Sure, Mick's a leader, really, among us all. Like, you know, and he's brilliant, you know. I mean, like, his story, everyone's mad about Mick, and everybody loves talking to Mick. And I was actually rang Mick tonight in the car, and my daughter's in the car, and she loves talking to him because he remembers her name all the time, her friends' names. He's it all off. He's unbelievable.
Well, there's barely a training session or a match that the one or the other or both isn't on the sideline.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting to the stage now that I have to watch the health, and I'd be afraid of getting colds.
Yeah,
but. During the winter time, I don't go to the winter training anymore.
Yeah,
but certainly when the sun is shining, I'd be here. Yeah, yeah, always here. Yeah, yeah.
You're
definitely
looking fit and healthy and sounding healthy. And come Sunday, you might even be a little bit healthier again.
Please God. Yeah. Please God. Yeah.
I feel like I'm walking my dad here. Like
right. We've been broadcasting down here for a couple of days. I've been very comfortable and happy with all of that. And, like, in some ways for me, it's kind of like two worlds colliding. Work life, Chemical Crokes life. I love them both equally. But I'm really, really, really beeping myself about this. They told me they're going to take it easy on me. I think it's about 2 years since I was down here playing. I'm nervous. But we're going to give it a go.
Which way
are we shooting this way? Keep it in. What position do you want me? You go on. I made it through and we're off to talk. Some people who know how to hurl.
Yeah. Second or third years, I probably did two thirds the last year.
Yeah.
Last 2 years, we sort of went the other way towards Dinny because conscious of messages and different voices.
Yeah.
And obviously, Mark Dunn was with us as well and Dermot.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark was absolutely superb.
Was he?
Oh, Mark was.
Really?
There wasn't an audience here.
Yeah.
You know, when I came to the club, half your senior team would have been coming in from abroad, you know, from the country.
Yeah.
You still had a number of the committee were all Crokes people who would have lived on the north side, came over for committee meetings. So it has been...
Because it was an amalgamation
of Crokes and Kilmacode. Yeah. So you would have had that. So that's come on and developed hugely over the last 40 years.
Yeah.
The last... probably 10-15 years have had exponential growth because the population is regenerated with a lot of younger people coming through. The first generation of houses in Mount Merry and Kilmacud, people have moved on as they got older, and younger people have come in and brought their kids here. We spent a lot of time trying to get people involved in the community. We're lucky now that we've a couple of people like Ushin O'Rourke and Fergal Whiteley teaching in the community, building on the work that the likes of Michael Garry would have done before in Skull Lurcon. And that's huge. Like, so all those things, that's just like a country club. And we are like that, but we're just that bit bigger.
I turned up at the club 4 or 5 years ago, right? And Park McDonald and Niall are there, and they're saying, come in, get involved. The numbers are massive. I haven't a clue what I'm doing, but I know I can see the energy and the enthusiasm and the culture that's been built up. And I'm just fascinated about the fact that, like, it feels like as if it's been there kind of forever. But
in fairness to the various chair people here over the years, that has taken a long, long time to grow. It's taken a lot of hard work to get that culture to pervade the whole organisation where everybody's working together. Yeah. And we had our troubles.
A bit of tension.
There was a bit of tension, but players and coaches at the bottom didn't care. They just got on with it. Because to us, playing is more important.
Yeah.
And we have got better and better as the years have gone on. You know, for me, it was always a dream that A, we would get back to winning county titles, and then we try and bring it forward into win nationally. Okay, we got to a Leinster final and lost. But if you look at the standard of hurling that this club is producing at all levels, and yes, we lost last year to the Fianna County Final, but look at the quality of the hurling that we are showing the country live on television. That wouldn't have happened.
When we were younger, we would always be part of teams. I played Camogie in football myself, and I guess when I was younger, it was all about playing, and my parents were bringing me to matches and always on the line. But as I got older, as I get older, I just see the importance of the community in the club, and seeing my mum and dad now part of the choir, she didn't mention they're in a hiking club as well. It's just, there's just so much on in the club, and there's just such a, I guess, camaraderie between every section, between the football, the Camogie, hurlers and footballers. It's just, it's so much more than just playing now to us all, I think. And yeah, it's just so much, it's so important in our lives. Like we were just saying earlier, how every game that I play, my mum and dad are there to support. Fergal and my sister are there to support. We go through all the wins and the losses together, and it's just such a part of our lives.
And the impact that you guys have as well, you've been down at a couple of our under nine training sessions, and yourself and Alex Considine, I remember one night.
I saw your photo of it, the WhatsApp photo, isn't it?
It's insane. I was only on to Kieran Dowling this week, and he was saying, oh, I used that photograph for something where he was trying to, but it really brought across, like, I don't know if you guys are in tune with that, like, you could tell tangibly that night, like, it was a couple of rock stars that turned up, and the kids talk about that like for months endlessly. I don't know how aware you are of that stuff.
Yeah, I suppose you remember when I was that age, you'd be going to games, or you might meet someone and your manager might say he plays for Kilkenny, or he plays for Dublin or Wexford or whatever, and you know, you idolise them. And even if, like, I always remember now, like, if, you know, if you met a player and they asked you, like, what's your name, or if they signed something for you or said hello to you, it means so much to you. So I'd always probably try and make an effort and do that. And you saw that, like I mentioned the photo, there's a photo of Alex and there's hundreds of kids swarmed around him. It's a brilliant photo, but yeah, definitely, like, it is so important, and you remember that again as you get older.
Like, I assume when you brought them down here the first day and sort of, you know, you collect them into...
I'm the worst person you could ask, because I can't watch them play.
Really?
I just can't.
Do you go to
under
games?
I do go, but I wish I had could replay it. You know, the one match that we did replay was the county final that they won a few years ago, you know, where you can sit down and watch the whole match. I can't watch.
Just overtaken with nerves.
Well, I feel I'll jinx it. If Fergal has the ball and he's run up the pitch, if I look... And Michael digs me and says, will you watch the match? So I just can't.
Really?
I can't. Yeah, no, I genuinely
you'll
can't.
You'll go, but you'll just
I'm sitting
sort of,
there, but I might as well be, you know, anywhere. Yeah, I can't watch. I mean, I'm so proud. I mean, you're always worried when they go on.
Yeah.
Will they get on? Will they stay on? Will they get injured? Will they come off? Dealing with the disappointment, dealing with the, what will I say? I'll say the wrong thing. It's the same with them all, I know. And the analysis that goes on, there's the Sunday game or whatever when we go home, you know, I might still say the wrong thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, even me coming in and taking over from Robbie this year, my own sister thought I was getting a big wad of cash for managing the team and being involved with the team. And look, you get that everywhere. There's a perception around that Kilmacud is a wealthy club, and there's endless amounts of money, but sadly that's not the reality of it. We're like every other club in the country. We've a massive emphasis on fundraising throughout the year across all our sections to help us produce teams and have teams in the best position that they can be as they go on to their championships, be that the ladies football, the Camogie, the hurling, or the senior footballers as well, you know. So definitely there's been some very strange perceptions put on. It's amazing how quick they can gather speed, and you're hearing stuff secondhand, and it's just, look, it's not factual, it's ungrounded, there's nothing behind it. Anyone that comes through Kilmacud will know the emphasis on the fundraising and the volunteer work. Like, even for us as a group, when after our championship games we come back here, and the mothers and fathers and parents of all the players actually provide us with food and dinner, and they make it at home and they bring it down, and we come into the bar here and we enjoy that together. Yeah,
proud of you been to see Lauren with the Crokes jersey on and the Dublin jersey on here, and living the legacy continues, I suppose.
Yeah, listen, I'm immensely proud. Like, I'm probably second in most now, so it's just trying to compose myself as a mama. But look, listen, it's kind of, you know, when you kind of I had a dream of my own self of playing for Kilmacud and winning Ireland, Kilmacud, and lucky to be captain when we won the All-Ireland, and then seeing Lauren, I was part of the in between 95 and 2011, but then seeing Lauren go on and fulfil that dream that she had as well, it is very special, and to be able to experience that, you know, as a parent along with the rest of my family, my dad as well, and my mother, was hugely emotional, proud moment, and something that I don't take for granted, you know, because look, she puts in a serious amount of work, and like, she's amazing that way, and then in her time giving back to the club, and then her own sisters then as well, she's a great role model for the girls as well. And look, it's just about community. She's working as a teacher in the local school in St. Lawrence's, and she's taught my best friends, Robbie Bean, whose wife is on the
guy. Joe, we were chatting.
Joe, yeah. So, yeah. But she's at. Lauren's been teaching her son, yeah. Matthew, isn't it?
Last
year. So, yeah. Like, me and Robert, her husband, we were. That was the photograph. It's that same skill.
Same skill,
and we're best friends now. And we were involved with the Dublin 14 thing. So it's just kind of immensely proud of what she's been and she hasn't got too ahead of herself. She's been kind of, you know, kept her counsel and just being very kind of respectful and not kind of like, she's won, lucky to win six, is it?
Yeah.
Six. So look, and but very humble in a sense as well. So look, it makes you proud. And look, hopefully, that's been probably her hardest year to date in terms of dealing with the injury and seeing the girls be successful with Dublin. But look, she was the bigger cheerleader for the girls in the All-Ireland final, and then obviously the girls last Friday in the county final were the biggest cheerleader. But probably her hardest challenge as a player that she's had to experience. Yeah. So look, it's part and parcel of football, but immensely proud. Yeah,
plenty more. That's obvious, and all the characteristics that you talk about.
No,
apple hasn't fallen far. I'm sure about that. But there's a lovely symmetry even about that, with your grandmother like getting the thing found, and you're such a big part of the club now, one of the best footballers in the country. That's a lovely connection, I suppose.
Oh yeah, like, as in, there's stories of my granny and goals having a fight, like on the team, like, and then like she was the, like, do you know what I mean, not only found it but like was playing and like getting the numbers up, and like obviously did a lot of work with like the likes of John Sheridan and other mothers as well that wanted their daughters involved. So no, it's an amazing connection, especially when Annie passing away a few years ago. Like, it's so nice to still have that, and like to know that she was such a big part, and it's amazing. And I was like, I think this is where it's the toughest time, is that like I know, like, it was really tough missing out with Dublin this year, but I think it's definitely been a lot harder missing out with club this year, I think, with that connection and the memories of my nanny and stuff. So it means so much. Like, I remember being here, like being down in the paddock since I was about four. Probably reluctantly more went down there for my for a bit more of a chat and a play. But no, definitely it's where my best friends are, and like, I'm so lucky to be involved in such an amazing team, amazing background team, management, and even the likes of like Robbie Leahy and Barry coming in this year. Like, would have been nice to play under new guys, and like the girls are really enjoying them and stuff. So yeah, it's been very tough. I think like getting through Dublin was like very, like, it was very like, as in straight off the back of doing my ACL, and obviously I've settled a little bit, so I think this, like, going back into the club, you're usually gearing to go for the rest of the winter. So it's been it's been a lot tougher.
Okay, we're getting ready to rock. You ready to go, Con?
Yep.
Alright, let's go. Stradbrook. 13 minutes.
Stradbrook.
Yeah,
is
you know
it
that one.
Our new home pitch.
Yeah, the new home pitch. We've a lot of new pitches, don't we?
That one sinks.
It's hard for hurling, is it?
Yeah, it's a rugby pitch.
It is a rugby pitch, yeah. It's hard. So we're leaving here. Take us 13 minutes to get down there. And it definitely feeds into that thing, doesn't it, kind of? Everybody thinks Crokes have great facilities. But here we are, driving through Stillorgan, through the traffic. Tough going, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think about Crokes, Con?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
What's good about it?
That my friend is there and you got to play hurling.
Oh, is hurling your favourite?
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, we've three pitches. So we own three pitches and we have, you mentioned the paddock. We've the paddock, which is a small all-weather just across the way there. And that's it. That's what we own. And we're trying to field a couple of hundred teams, you know, create, I'm sure anybody who's involved, the battle about the training slots and, you know, where we go and we're going up the mountains, we're going out to Bray. We rent space in about 13 different locations outside of the club. So that's a huge logistic. I actually am always on record as saying, and I respect everybody who gets involved with the club, but the team that I have the most, I don't know if it's respect or sympathy for, are the guys who organise the training slots. It's just extraordinary. It's loaves and fishes.
I was chatting to a lady there about a half an hour ago, and she spent 10 hours on the phone Friday trying to reorganise pitches for her girls' teams, you know. Yeah.
Pitches is a huge challenge.
So it's all that kind of work that goes unseen. That is carried out by the volunteers that makes it so successful.
The biggest challenge we have is trying to find space to get people a training slot a week. When you move into the senior ranks, you're looking for two training slots a week. So we have done a lot of work. We put floodlights on the main pitch here, which has allowed us to get a lot more use out of it. We built a gym. We had a room that we turned into a gym about, I'd say, 4 or 5 years ago, which our senior teams use every night of the week, and then other members use at all kinds of times in and around it. We have plans to do work up in Silver Park, which is just up the road. There are two pitches there. And yes, it's a big club. We can't shy away from that. We are a club with 6,000 members. We have almost 3,200 playing members. So we can't run away from that. But the reality is that brings a different set of challenges. And despite that, it's funny, all of the things people say about the club in terms of not being a community actually are completely false. This is a community like any other GA community, except it's probably bigger. It's on a bigger scale, and it just has other problems that we've got to solve for. Mm. But I think, you know, we've all heard that it's really easy to throw stones at a place like Crokes and say, big city club, you know, loads of members, nobody cares about it. I'll tell you, everybody who comes here cares about it.
That's Crokes. If you believe it's some kind of a super club, maybe you feel a little bit differently about it now. It gives people a great sense of hope and belonging and a true sense of community. Even still, it might not be for you, but it's where I belong.